We're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Hayden Wallen, intern Draven. As we're off and running on this Tuesday, September 22nd, the animosity is thick. The tension is thick inside the White Claw Studios between Hayden and intern Draven. Intern Hayden is fed up. Thumbs down on how his day is going. Cam, how are you? You good?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing great. I thought I was doing good yesterday. I'm doing even better today.
You know, I feel like that Saints performance was worth the Falcons' win, honestly.
It is. Yeah, we're a game back in the division. I am thriving. Breeze looks like a shell of himself. I am excited.
I've gotten multiple texts, multiple DMs from people who are asking why we quit. Why we keep letting Draven give his locks on the air, as Draven told everyone, including Hayden, that the Saints were a quote-unquote lock. You know, people always say quote-unquote. I feel like they just say quote, lock, unquote. Yeah. People say quote-unquote and then say what they're saying. I feel like that's in the reverse
order.
Yeah,
it's outside of the quotation
marks.
Yeah,
you just got four quotation marks sitting there. Or two quotation marks. I guess that's be two to technically be a quotation mark. But either way, quote, lock, unquote. This is on the heels of calling the Detroit Lions plus 6.5 a lock, quote, unquote.
Both teams are winning in the first quarter, by the way.
The game is four quarters long. The game is four quarters long.
Sadly.
Maybe we can take this information and do a couple things with it. Maybe we can fade Draven.
Mm-hmm.
Fade Draven, because I do remember there was like a game three Milwaukee Bucks, where he was, or game two Milwaukee Bucks against the Heat. That was also a bet everything you own lock. I don't know if you said that one on air. Yeah. That's what he kept saying.
I remember that one as well.
That's a bet everything you own. No way the Bucks go down 0-2 to the Heat. That's whenever my antenna went up on Draven. That's when I was like, I don't know if I'm taking this guy's advice. Whenever he said that was a lock, bet everything you own lock. So we can either start fading Draven and picking the team opposite of what he picks until he wins our respect back, or we can start taking his team and just betting on them in the first quarter, because apparently they're really good in the first quarter. They just forget after that.
I think I should just get one more just solid pick. Like I said before, third time's a charm. One more chance for redemption right here, and I'll give you guys the best bet of the weekend.
You want to do it now on a Tuesday? You want to wait?
No, let's just do it.
Injuries
are good. Tonight's game, Lakers.
Well, I don't want him to give us his best bet of the decade on a random game that just happens to be next. I want him to look at the board.
Yeah,
I want him to focus. He's got a whole thing of college football.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a whole thing of NFL football.
Like you said, get to see that injury report would be nice. Make sure everybody's good to go for Saturday and Sunday. And then
I'll give you until whenever. You just let me know.
Okay.
You let me know this week whenever you're ready to risk it all. Draven's lock of the week, of the month, of the year, of the decade.
Yep.
Of the decade. He is going to put it all on the line. Because last night he said, go all in on the Saints. And, buddy, let me tell you, the Saints.
They didn't go all in.
In our initial playoff preview, I left them out of the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Now, once the Lions, I saw they looked awful, and like once I saw the 49ers, like they're not a playoff team. Once I saw that, I was like, okay, Saints might sneak in as that wild card, or they might win the division because the Bucks look bad. But right now, like Cam, I feel like your Falcons, you got to be licking your chops. I know I've been a little bewildered. I've been a little confused about all this Falcons optimism, but man, like Brady doesn't look good, and Breeze looks awful.
I've been trying to tell y'all, like, we don't get the Saints or the Bucks until the back half of the schedule. Their arms are already looking like they're struggling.
Well, see, I think you would rather play them now. I don't think you want to play a red-hot Jameis. rejuvenized by the New Orleans crowd. Like, I think I'd rather.
I do not want to play Jameis.
I think I would rather see the Saints come to town now. Like, this team stinks. Those guys suck. Drew Brees can't throw the ball down the field, and, like, I've been telling people this.
Oh, yeah, he hasn't thrown a pass 35 yards in the air since 2017.
35? I mean, forget 35. He don't throw it 20 yards down the field.
Exactly. They last don't have a downfield passing game.
Last night, it took until, like, the fourth quarter before he threw the ball 6 yards down the field outside of the first quarter. Like, the second and third quarter, it was all dink and dunks. Like, forget 35 yards. 35? Can you throw it 15?
Probably not.
I don't think he can.
I think he tried it, and he threw it to a linebacker last night.
That was maybe just, like, beautiful, like, blending in. I don't know if you saw the picture. Like, that linebacker standing right on the Raiders logo. Like, it's just camouflaged.
<He was sneaky.
laughs> Just camouflaged all black, standing on the black logo. That seems a little unfair, but, you know, Breeze loses the benefit of the doubt. Plus, I thought it was a hit low. I thought the guy came in low on the knees. But either way,
it's okay.
You know, they wouldn't have won anyways because a couple things here. Apparently, Marshon Lattimore is only good against Mike Evans because he was food last night. And Darren Waller Jr. Is he a junior? Is he Waller Jr. or just Darren Waller? Is he a junior? Did I make him a junior out of nowhere?
I don't think he's a junior.
I just made him a junior out of nowhere. I don't know. But Darren Waller, he's got some juniors now. He's got a couple. He now owns all of the Saints' wives. Like, those are all his girlfriends now. He has a bunch of future kids coming from what he did to the Saints secondary last night.
He is not a junior.
Okay.
He is a full-blown Saints daddy.
Okay, well, he is going to have a lot of juniors from the Saints defense, like Jack Rabbit, Janoris Jenkins. He now belongs to Darren Waller. He is now Darren Waller Jr. He is his son. Just a big-time performance for him. And Derek Carr, I mean, he still is what he is. He is a healthy, young Drew Brees in the sense that he doesn't throw the ball down the field, but he didn't have to last night, just 10, 15 yards a pop. And the Raiders just went on these long, sustaining drives.
Yeah.
Just get 4 or 5 yards a pop, pick up third downs, keep it moving, hold the ball for 8 or 9 minutes, score touchdowns. 38 attempts for Derek Carr, 280 yards, though. No turnovers by Carr. Broussard had that terrible fumble drop where he just dropped the ball on that toss.
Oh, yeah.
Where it looked like the Saints were going to get back in the game, and then they immediately like got one first down, then had to punt. But Derek Carr, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. John Gruden, take that all the time. John Gruden, built a pretty good team there. Found Darren Waller. Brian Edwards came with a couple big passes. Hunter Renfro moved the chains. They didn't even need Henry Ruggs. They've yet to get him going, which maybe they don't get him going. I don't know. But they have built a pretty good team. And the Raiders, 2-0.
Yeah, the Saints offense just looked so limited yesterday. It looked so limited. Like, I don't know if that's because Mike Thomas isn't there or if that's just, you know, their system. Because it already was kind of the dink and dunk stuff. Just Mike Thomas was, a good enough playmaker to make something happen after you hit him with that slant route. But, yeah, they looked so limited last night. And it was like Emmanuel Sanders only had one catch. Everybody was like, oh, yeah, he'll take the strain off of missing Michael Thomas. He did not.
Well, maybe he would have had, you know, Drew Brees throwing the ball.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Emmanuel Sanders is like, hey, I need to go 15 yards down the field. I'm not trying to do his 3-yard catches, bro.
Sorry, that's all they got.
Maybe it's because Michael Thomas wasn't there. Like, maybe. Last night was the second game Drew Brees had to play with Michael Thomas. In those two games, he has 0-for-2 in terms of getting a win. His passer rating drops 40 points.
Jeez.
Like, with Michael Thomas, the last, you know, however many years, 5 years, the Saints are 40-18. Drew Brees has a passer rating of 109. He's thrown 121 touchdowns, 29 interceptions. The two games without him, his passer rating is 69, which is not nice. One touchdown and 4 interceptions. So like he's a completely different quarterback without Michael Thomas, or he's just old now, and Michael Thomas, like, he wasn't very good last week with Michael Thomas either.
Yeah.
Drew Brees, last night, how many yards did he have, Cam? Pull up his box score. How many yards did he finish with?
He had 312.
It's the worst 300-yard performance you'll see. 33% of those yards came through the air. Like, only 100 of those yards came through the air.
That's great.
The other 200 yards were yak. Like, throw it to Kamara, and hopefully Kamara will get you 15 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Only 33% of his passing yards came through the air. That's pretty abysmal.
Jeez.
Last night, And last Sunday against the Bucks, Drew Brees, his passes are averaging 4.82 air yards. So they're going less than 5 yards in the air, which is the lowest of any quarterback through two games in over a decade. The last time that's happened was 09 Brett Favre. Not 10 Brett Favre, where he fell off the map, 09, where he still was able to put good numbers up, dinking and dunking, and just had a good defense. I was hoping it was 2010 Brett Favre, because I was going to feel so smart, because I said this 2010 Brett Favre season was coming. Yep. And playing the role of Joe Webb is going to be Jameis Winston.
Oh, no. I'm scared of Jameis. I hope they don't put Jameis in. Jameis with fixed eyes?
Jameis with fixed eyes or the $21 million man Taysom Hill. Like, they said they got three good quarterbacks. So, like, at a certain point, you got to say, well, maybe we're playing the worst of the three. I don't want to bury Breeze yet, but I got the shovel out. The hole is prepared. We have dug a nice 6 foot by what, 3 feet? How wide do the how wide do you make the burial sites? 6x3? 6x4?
I'd say it's probably by 3. That would make sense.
I feel like it's 6x3, or maybe like 6x2.5. Draven, can you get that answer for me? Since you buried all of our listeners last night, the least you could do is tell them where they're buried at now and how deep the dimensions are. And wide. Because I got the whole dug ready to put Drew Brees in it. Who do they got this upcoming week?
They Packers? Have the Packers.
On Sunday Night Football?
Yep.
On a short week? Smoked. On a short week, I would assume Michael Thomas has a chance to come back, but you never know.
Mm-hmm.
It's questionable right now.
Yeah. I mean, they act like he almost played last week, but I don't know. We'll see. But the bad thing about those primetime games, are there's nowhere to hide. That's where Kirk Cousins had to deal with a lot of his career, where everyone's like, you know what? You're on primetime, and you stink on primetime, so we think you're a stinky quarterback.
Yep.
And then, like, in the regular games, like on Sunday at 1, he would be pretty good, but no one really cared because whenever we'd see him on primetime, he was awful.
Yep.
Drew Brees, the bad part about aging on a contending team is that everyone's going to get to see it. Like, keep in mind, bro, Peyton got benched for Brock Osweiler. So at least you got that going for you. Like, at least Jameis is better than Brock Osweiler.
Yeah. I will be concerned that they end up playing Jameis later in the year.
Yeah, yeah. Like I would actually
be concerned.
I didn't mean to ruin your day.
I'm kind of scared about that now.
Yeah, I didn't mean to ruin your day because you've been licking your chops at the prospect of getting Drew Brees in, like, December. But you might not get Drew Brees in December. You might be playing Jameis Winston.
Oh, man. That scares me.
And I don't want to overreact, but keep in mind, like, I don't think this is an overreaction. Like, you might be listening to the radio, big, it's one game, you're burying this guy, he's a legend. Because everyone keeps trying to say he's like a top five quarterback, right? Like, coming into the year, everyone's like, Brees is still top five. And I think people are seeing, like, okay, maybe that was a little misguided.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, like, Drew Brees apparently was, like, really, really close to retiring.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he already, like, I don't know if you guys remember, like, he already has inked his broadcast deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he signed with what, NBC, right? Like, he's going to do Notre Dame games and do some NFL games. Like, he already is like, hey, I want to get into broadcasting here. Let me sign this contract. That's how close he was to retiring. And then if you believe the rumors are that Tom Brady's first choice was New Orleans. Like, where Tom Brady wanted to go?
I believe that.
He wanted to go play in a dome with Sean Payton, with Michael Thomas, with Alvin Kamara.
Perfect dink and dunk people.
Right, yeah, like guys, he's like, hey, these guys don't like going further than 6 yards down the field. I can do this.
Yeah.
Like, if you believe the rumors, that was Tom Brady's first choice, and people think, like, Drew Brees might have retired had they not been looking at bringing in Tom Brady to maybe get his team over the hump. Because mm-hmm. that would have been pretty embarrassing for Brees had he retired after losing to Kirk Cousins, and then Brady comes in and wins the Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty tough. Like, because Brees and Brady are doing this whole thing where they're 1-2, like, all time in these stats, and they're going back and forth. And like, you know, to have Brady pass Brees in a Saints uniform, that might have been too tough for Brees to swallow. So the rumors are that's kind of, like, one of the reasons he's like, you know what, I'll come back.
And that's actually probably my worst nightmare, would have been Brady in a Saints uniform. That would have been just pure evil personified.
Yeah, you don't want them those two things teaming up.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You don't want those two things teaming up. But last night, and really week one, although it didn't really matter because the pick six and the Bucks looked so bad. But the last 2 weeks, Brees has looked like someone who has 1 foot out the door, who wanted to retire, who's just kind of like, you know what, maybe I should have retired. That's one of the most interesting plot lines for me right now in the NFL. That regret that Brees might be feeling over not retiring because he didn't look like he was having fun last night. He didn't look like he was having fun at all. And the Saints are a team that is Super Bowl or bust, right? Like, that's the goal.
Yeah, they went all in. Super Bowl.
I get, you know, I don't know who in their right mind, even the biggest Saint fans, have to would feel good about their chances right now of Breeze making it to January. Like, I mean, even if you're like, okay, Michael Thomas wasn't there, like, he's fine, we'll be good, but, like, do you actually believe that body's going to hold up? Like, because Breeze looks pretty old. And, like, you're just going to have to win a Super Bowl, like, you're going to have, because, like, I think heading into last night, I think a lot of Saints fans thought their defense was really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe their run defense is pretty good, but their secondary got picked apart, man. Like, they're relying on Malcolm Jenkins out there, and Malcolm Jenkins is old as Drew Brees in DB years. And Marshawn Lattimore was food. So, like, I don't think they have the defense that can carry the Saints. Like, their defense is good enough to win a championship if they have a good offense. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, like, if you don't have that elite offense, like, that's not a team that can win.
They definitely didn't look like an elite offense yesterday.
Right. So that defense isn't going to be able to carry that team. I don't know. I felt pretty good about being low on the Saints yesterday. Now, we'll see. Packers coming back next week. That'll be a fun game. Is that in the Dome?
Or is it in Green Bay?
No, it's in New Orleans.
It's in New Orleans?
Yeah.
If you're the Packers, you're fine. Like, you're built to play fast on the turf, but I was just wondering about that old body having to go outside, although it's probably not cold in Green Bay just yet. That was the story of the day, though. Saints. Can't feel good. John Gruden, gotta feel good. Everyone kind of made fun of Gruden after year one, but, man, it turns out he can still coach an offense. Right? I mean, like, I don't know if the John Gruden hype was justified. I won't go that far. Because he got, like, a $100 million contract, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He got, like, a 10-year, $100 million contract from the Raiders, so I don't know if it was worth that. But, like, he has saved Derek Carr's career, and he has started winning games again, and they look like a team that will be in playoff contention.
Yeah.
That Khalil Mack trade doesn't look bad anymore. Like, getting Josh Jacobs and getting some other pieces, probably worth it, not having to pay Khalil Mack. Because I haven't watched very many Raiders games lately and been like, you know what, they really need a pass rush. Yeah. They seem to do just enough to get a, you know, they seem to be able to do just enough to get a pass rush. And that offense controls the ball. And Gruden brings the old school, brings, like, the late 90s, early 2000s back with their dinking and dunking and running the ball.
They basically out Saints the Saints.
Yeah,
yesterday.
They did. The Raiders right now have the second best offense in terms of converting first downs on third downs. 57% of the time when they line up on third downs, they have picked up the first down. That's second best in the league. Want to take a guess who number one is? The Raiders do this 57% of the time. The best team in the league at third downs does it at 62.5%. So they're pretty far ahead.
Jeez. Is it the Packers?
It is not the Packers. Hayden.
Seahawks.
Wrong.
Titans.
Wrong. Mm. The Jaguars.
Oh my gosh.
The Jaguars are just dinking and dunking and just picking up third and shorts left and right.
Minshew magic.
And then Minshew will run around the pocket and pick you up a first down. The Jaguars have converted 62.5% of their third downs.
Jeez. They should just get the third down every time.
After watching them play the Titans, it checks out because they were just third downing us to death. All right, we'll put a bow on week two as we come back. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. We had another Achilles injury last night. I know the ACLs have been the story, but I feel like this is the most Achilles injuries I've seen through the first 2 weeks. The Raiders lost Richie Incognito to an Achilles injury. But he had been, you know, a pretty good guard for them.
Yeah, no, these injuries have been rough. That's crazy. I think you're right, though, about the Achilles. Like, it's at least, is that three now, maybe? Three or four?
I mean, that's the second one of the weekend, at least, right? I mean, I'm Malik Hooker, ruptured his Achilles.
Marlon Mack in week one.
Marlon Mack last week, and now Incognito. I feel like there's more, too. I
think so.
I feel like it's more than three, but those three jump out. Do you think the Raiders are a playoff team after last night? Like, do you think that team, like, the 2-0, it's all about, you know, if you can just get off to a good start and hang around that 500 mark for the year, like, you're going to have a chance to get in this nine spot, or the seven spot, excuse me, probably at 9-7.
I think we'll find out in the next couple of weeks. They have a tough stretch. Their next
the Raiders
three games.
Do.
Yeah. They play at the Patriots, versus the Bills, at the Chiefs, their next three games.
That's
so
pretty tough. So last night was important for them.
Yeah, they needed that win. I think with that extra playoff spot, they could possibly sneak in there, but it's just, yeah, that's a tough stretch they have coming up.
I assume that game is also in New England this upcoming week.
Yeah.
It's pretty tough. That's a pretty tough ask to make a team come off of a emotional Monday night win. And then on a short week, travel across the country.
Yeah.
Now, I will say at least the Patriots had to play late Sunday night and travel from New England to, or from Seattle back to New England. But still, that's a tough ask for a Raiders team to have to do.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. I mean, of course, like, you know, the Bills aren't a slouch and the Chiefs are the Chiefs. So.
Yep, that's pretty tough for the Raiders. And we know that the Chiefs dominate their AFC West opponents. I don't know if we got that to that stat yesterday, but they are 28-3. Against their division since 2015.
They better be careful. They could blow that one.
Something tells me Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, they got it under control. I don't think they'll lose 30 straight games into their division to blow that lead. They'll be fine.
How much time is left?
About 10 years.
Okay.
On Reid and Mahomes. I think they'll be fine. I'm very curious to see how that progresses over the next 5 years.
Yeah.
They might end up something like 44 and like 6.
Yeah, it's possible for sure.
Just complete annihilation of that division. So if I'm the Raiders, I'm like, yeah, we're going to pencil that Chiefs in for a loss. But yeah, like the seven playoff spot, that's I feel like not being talked about enough because that's a pretty big wrinkle.
Yeah.
In terms of teams that are going to be in contention. And like in the AFC after 2 weeks, who do you feel comfortable riding off? Like who can we go ahead and cross out, like not a playoff team, these guys are done for? I would say the Jets are completely done.
Mm-hmm.
That team has quit already on Adam Gase.
Yeah, I'd say Jets.
Dolphins.
That's probably where I was
looking. I'm not going to write the Dolphins off just yet, just because I want to see what Tua looks like. Mm-hmm. And they played Jacksonville this week, and if they beat Jacksonville, they're 1-2. And like, don't get me wrong, Hayden, they're close to elimination for me, but they showed me at least life against the Bills. And they showed me life against the Patriots. Now, we know Fitzpatrick is going to have his bad year, but they do have Tua left. But, however, like they got Jaguars on Thursday, then Seahawks at 49ers at Broncos. So, like they're going to have a tough stretch. But if you beat Jacksonville, maybe you can get back on track. But they're close to being written off. But I won't write them off just yet. So, out of the AFC East, I'll say just the Jets. The only team I'm ready to write off now.
You're writing off the Bengals?
I'm not writing off the Bengals just yet, but I'm close. Like I'll give them another week just because Burrow and that offense looks like they'll be spunky, and the Chargers look pretty good. I mean, playing the Chiefs, so yeah, maybe that week one game not embarrassing, and they showed life against the Browns. They just couldn't. I think their problem is just going to be their defense and their offensive line. Like I don't think they're a playoff team, but their next two games they play at Eagles versus Jaguars. Like I wouldn't be shocked if they were 2-2.
Yeah.
Just because of the way that the Eagles look. I mean, like, that Eagles team looks like they are. Whenever – I felt bad. Like, have we gone too far with the Eagles fans? Like, they're booing Carson Wentz after an interception, and the crowd's not even there.
Like, holy cow. Like, I didn't even think about that.
They pumped in crowd noise to boo their quarterback after an interception, and then you realize, wait, no one is in the crowd.
That's funny. I like that.
That's kind of brutal.
No, it is.
That's brutal.
And I feel like that's just where they're at in Philadelphia right now. Yeah. And you have Doug Peterson, who's like offensive genius, being asked after their game, why is Carson Wentz regressing in year 5? And he said, that's a great question. Well, yeah, it's a great question. You got a great answer? Do you have at least an answer? Because I feel like you're kind of tied to this, Doug. You and Carson better figure it out.
I'm running the Broncos off.
I was about to say that, too. Yep.
Baby. Bortles is coming. They signed Blake Bortles this morning. You know John Elway loves those big athletic or those big quarterbacks with big arms. I don't even call him athletic. Just a big quarterback. Although Bortles can move around a little bit. But a big quarterback with a big arm. That's John Elway's weakness.
Yeah, he's got a week to learn the playbook. He's not going to be a factor this week. I think just them missing their quarterback for a stretch, and they still have to play the Chiefs twice.
John Elway is just constantly looking for the next John Elway. Just big guys that can maybe move around a little bit.
One of them's got the hit, right? You know, maybe.
Paxton Lynch didn't. Brock Osweiler didn't.
Got to keep trying then.
So you're writing the Broncos off? I think that defense is too good to write off just yet. I'm not talking about like to win the division, obviously. I'm just talking about like to be in contention. I'm not saying they'll be a playoff team, but like I wouldn't be surprised if at week 10 or week 11 or week 12 we find the Broncos at like 6-7.
Yeah, that's fair.
With a chance to like win their last three and get a playoff spot. We disagree there. Like, are you saying that there's no chance that happens? Because they still have good running backs and they still have a good defense, in my opinion.
Their schedule's not brutal. They play Tampa this week, which will be kind of a tough game. But then at the Jets, the Jets are a mess. They play at New England. They get Miami at home. That's a winnable game. At Atlanta later, winnable game.
So, I mean, like, and like, you know, if they go up against the Raiders, they'll feel like they're not going to feel overmatched. Like, those aren't games they're going to come into completely, like, overwhelmed. So, I'm not writing the Broncos off yet either. I feel like you're getting too ahead of yourself there, Hayden.
Say, listen to that schedule. I think I'm going to take that back.
Too. Like, the only team I feel confident in right now is the Jets, and, like, the next on the chopping block would be the Bengals.
Are you just talking about teams that, like, have no chance to play off?
Yes, I'm talking about teams that right now their season's over.
I think the Broncos season's over. I think the Raiders are a lot better than them.
Well, I mean, they're not competing against the Raiders. I mean, they are, but there's.
I don't think both those teams can make the playoffs, and I think the Raiders can make the playoffs. So that's why I say that.
Just because, like, of the rest of the AFC being stronger, because there's seven playoff spots. So, like, I mean, three teams can make it from the same division. Four can make it from the same division if they had to.
Yeah, I mean, if we go back and look at the list that Cam made, I think the Patriots are going to make it now, and the Raiders are going to make it now,
and one more spot,
and the Browns.
See, I just don't know if that Browns team will be able to run away from that. Them is all I'm saying. I mean, it's fine. I'm not writing them off. The only team I'm willing to completely cross off, zero chance of making the playoffs, are the Jets. They're dead in the water. And then the Dolphins and Bengals, you're on alert. Everyone else still feels alive in the AFC. When I get to the NFC, it feels a little bit different. When I get to the NFC, I'm like, Panthers, you're out of here.
Yeah.
Like, you're out of here. I'm ready to pull the plug on you already.
Giants,
you're out of here. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions, you're out of here.
Shoot, I may call the Vikings out of here too.
I'm gonna give the
Vikings are out of here.
I keep giving them. I'm gonna weigh on the Vikings. Like I'm not gonna say I'm scared of the Vikings this weekend, but like I wouldn't be surprised if the Vikings beat the Titans this weekend. Yeah. It's just the NFL. You know what I mean? Like it's hard to go 3-0. It's hard to go 0-3. Like if you have somewhat of a pulse, maybe I'm just trying to look and like not get ahead of myself and get too cocky. But like it's a 2.5-point spread for a reason. Like. The Vikings still have talent on that team, but if they lose this week, they might be ready to fire Zimmer and they get crossed off as well. Although, even then, they'll get Danielle Hunter back after week three, so.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Maybe he can, like, completely change that defense. But I feel like the Lions, you're out of here. The Giants, you're out of here.
Has a team ever made the playoffs starting 0-3? So whoever loses.
Ever?
Yeah,
probably somebody.
Yeah, somebody's had to have done
Didn't
it.
Didn't the Texans go 0-3 a couple years ago and
they started
still winning
0-2? I know for sure.
I want to say they're like 1-4 or something like that. And then
I know they were off to a rough start and they still end up making.
I
want to
say they went 1-4 and then they like won like eight close games in a row and it was just the most frustrating thing ever because I'm like these guys aren't good but they just kept winning like 2-point games and 3-point games.
Well, Colts and the Andrew Luck, same thing happened to them. They went 1-5 and then end up making the wild card.
Yeah,
that was the year they. Was that Andrew Luck's last year? Was that the year he retired?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, yeah.
I think so.
In 2018, they said 5 out of 173 teams to start 0-3 made the playoffs.
Yeah, so 5. I mean, it's not likely. Like, if you go 0-3, chances are you're done for. Mm-hmm. Most likely. So that 7 spot's going to keep teams in it. We'll hit you with the Week 3 NFL Power Rankings coming up after the break. Then we'll close the book on Week 3. As we start looking ahead, we got Lucas Panzeca going to join us at the 2 o'clock, or excuse me, in the second hour, 1:30, to talk Vols with us. We got our unofficial depth chart coming out. No real surprises. Cade Mays not listed, although like Tennessee has said, hey, we are still trying to get him cleared from the SEC. So, you know, if he gets cleared, he will be the starter. They're just not listing him now because he's not. Clear, but we'll talk about that more in hour two. Like I said, Lucas Panzeca will join us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines as we try to continue to have guests to get you ready for football. But we'll do our week 3 NFL Power Rankings next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, as Hayden gets Power Rankings set, we will get ready for Power Rankings, and it'll be brought to you by Kraft Axe Throwing. Use the promo code FANRUN for 15% off your booking. Go throw some axes. Last time I went, I was not accurate. That was one of the more frustrating things that's happened to me the last couple months. I've gone twice the last couple months. First time I went, I'm not going to say I was good, but I was not the worst. I went with like 12 people, and I was probably like 5th. Or 6th?
Okay,
yeah. Not bad. I'm just fine. I mean, I could go up there and get the four-pointer. I couldn't hit the bullseye, really, but the four-pointer was pretty much money. I'd say I went like 95% accuracy. Or maybe that's a little high, like 92% accuracy. I went a couple weeks ago, group of 12, and I was probably 11th or 12th. Ooh. And, like, I couldn't get a stick in the board.
Why are you regressing in year 5?
That's a great question.
I need to go. I think I could throw an axe.
Is it one? You throw it one-handed?
You can
do two if you want.
Are they heavy?
There's two different weights. There's one that's heavier and one that's a little bit lighter.
Depending on your throw style.
Yeah. I like to picture Mel Gibson in The Patriot whenever I throw axes. You guys both chuckled. Does that mean you get the reference?
Yeah.
You guys have seen The Patriot? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Cam, you seen The Patriot?
I have seen The Patriot.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, we finally hit one.
First time.
I did it. Let's go. I did not think it'd be The Patriot that you've all three seen. But okay. Man, how good is that scene?
It's pretty good.
That's like a top 10 movie scene. Like, I don't know if The Patriot's like that good anymore. Like, it's been a while since I watched it. Like, the last time I watched it, like, man, this is kind of long.
Yeah.
It's kind of long, but, you know, spoiler alert. Well, there's a couple good things. Spoiler alert, it's good, but it's really sad when Heath Ledger dies. Mm-hmm. That hurts me when Heath Ledger dies. It's like, why would you go? Just wait. But he went.
He did it.
You can't lose your cool when that stuff happens. You know what I mean? Like, if my wife and her whole, like, village got burned up in a church, I probably would lose my mind, too. So I guess I don't blame Heath Ledger for losing his cool. But when he gets stabbed. That guy, what's his name in The Patriot? The bad guy? I don't know what his name is, but he's like one of the best movie villains ever.
Like his real name? Or?
No, just like the name of the movie. Like, he's like one of the best movie villains ever. He's so mean. So mean. But no, whenever they kill another son, damn. Poor Mel lost two sons.
Yeah.
The first one. Yeah. And then he takes the hatchets and goes to the woods. Woo! Great movie scene. That's what I think of when I throw axes. Aim small, miss small. I was just missing big last time I went to throw axes. But you can go throw axes. Use the promo code FANRUN. All right, Hayden, you ready for Power Rankings? You got the music fired up. You ready to go play the music? Let's do some Power Ranking.
Rankings.
Go, go, power.
Rankings. Rankings. Rankings.
Go, go, power.
Rankings.
All right, Cam, week 2.5, coming out of week 2, heading into week 3. We still don't know which week it is. NFL Power Rankings, what do you got? Who you got?
All right, number 5, I got to give it to the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen's looking great right now. I know they really haven't played a ton of people, but they've dominated the guys they've played, so they've been looking good. I'm sure we'll find out more about them the next few weeks, especially, as their schedule gets a little tougher. But yeah, they have done enough for me to be in my top 5, so I have the Bills at number 5. I'm loving what Josh Allen's doing this year, and looking forward to seeing what he keeps up for them. Number 4, I got the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers still slinging it. They've dropped 40 points in the first 2 games. That offense looks dominant. That offense is on a roll. Aaron Jones is still a stud. Aaron Rodgers dropping dimes like it's 2010. It's crazy. So I got them at number four. Number three, I got the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, you know, Lamar Jackson's going to do his thing. Mark Ingram even looked good this past game. They also got the weapons with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards in there. So they got options in the run game. Lamar's playing well. Mark Andrews has looked great. They're just on their normal, you know, just keeping it moving as usual over there in Baltimore. So they are number three in my power rankings. I got the Seahawks at number two. Still not quite sure how good the Patriots are, but like you mentioned the other day, their primetime games always seem to come down to the wire. But they got it done against the Patriots. Russell still looks really, really good when they're letting him throw the ball. Chris Carson's a reliable running back. I think they'll just be there at the end. I think they're probably the best team in the NFC right now, for sure. So I got them at number two in my power rankings. And number one, Kansas City. Gotta keep it with Kansas City till they falter a little bit. They got close this week.
Yeah.
They got close this week, but I'll give it to them as a division game. Herbert came in as kind of almost a change of pace kind of guy, giving you a little something different than you expected from Tyrod or Tyrod or whoever that
Taylor.
Guy is.
Taylor.
From that guy, yeah. So, yeah, the Chiefs still find a way to win the game, so I got to keep the Chiefs at number one.
Yeah, there's a little bit of movement in mine. I hate that I had put the dumbass Saints in my top five last week because I knew they weren't a top five team, but they are officially gone now. Goodbye, Saints. You are out of the top five. I hate that you tricked me for 1 week. But taking their spot, I want to give a big round of applause, a huge welcome to the Green Bay Packers. Welcome
okay,
in
pack
to the top five. Still not sold that you've beaten anybody worth a damn. But I am going to give you credit simply because you went 13-3 last year. And everyone kind of said, well, yeah, but. Well, you're 13-3. And then you've turned around, you've gone 2-0. So, like, you are a pretty good regular season team. Aaron Rodgers looks good. Aaron Jones looks good. I think they got maybe the best 1-2 combo in terms of skill position players.
Yeah.
Is there a better duo than Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams? I mean, because if you give me DeAndre Hopkins, who are you going to give me at running back? Like, Kenyon Drake's not better than Aaron Jones. No offense to Julio, but I don't think he's having the year that, even if he did, like, Gurley's not going to be there. Michael Thomas and Kamara maybe when healthy. Because Kamara looks really good. Like, maybe that's the only other team I will listen to right now.
What about Jacobs and Waller?
No, I mean, Waller's just not on that level. I mean, Waller's a matchup problem, but, like, Waller's not Devontae Adams.
Yeah. Like, Waller's, Adams is hurt right now.
Adams is hurt right now?
Yeah, he just got hurt. He's questionable this weekend.
Right, but is he not going to play this weekend?
We don't know yet.
I don't know.
Okay.
He left the game early.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were up big, too, so like it wasn't really...
didn't really matter, but yeah.
I didn't know he was... Is he, like, questionable for week three?
Yeah, he's questionable right now.
Well, they need him for week three against the Saints. But either way, I like their skill position players. Mm-hmm. They got a good pass rush, and like I said, they just win regular season games. Now, you know, do I think they're the best team in the NFC? Maybe not. Number four, though, I got the Seahawks. I dropped them down in a couple spots. I just got questions about that secondary. Mm-hmm. And then I lose Bruce Irvin. So I am going to knock them down a little bit. And if the Packers and Seahawks played, I don't know, last time they played, Green Bay handled them. Yeah. Didn't, like, dominate them or anything, but led pretty much the entire game. Now the Seahawks were doing that dumb thing where they tried to run Chris Carson for too long, and maybe they will let Russell cook, as they have been saying so many times. Maybe that's the new mantra there, but Seahawks number four right now. Top three all AFC teams. I moved the Titans down to number three. Not so much anything they've done wrong, or I kept them at number three, but I moved them below the number two team, the Baltimore Ravens. I just think Baltimore is playing on a really high level right now, and like the Packers, will they do it in the playoffs? I don't know, but when you are a regular season juggernaut like the Ravens look right now, winning 14 straight regular season games, having a margin of victory of 19 points per game, you probably should be number one, but I just can't move down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs just because I've seen them win a Super Bowl. I've seen them win big games. Like, even when they were down 8 points to the Chargers, you never really thought the Chargers were going to win. Mm-hmm. At least I didn't.
May have to flip those two teams this week.
Yep, may have to. And like I said, honestly, if you actually I don't know. I still need to see the Ravens play somebody, too, just because, like, you know, the the Browns were okay and the Texans are okay. But, like, let's see what you do against the Chiefs. But I do think they match up pretty well with them and, like, them running around on being aggressive and going for first downs is going to keep that Chiefs team off the field. But can they stop Mahomes?
Yeah.
We'll see. But the Chiefs champs until otherwise proven. Packers, Seahawks, Titans, Ravens, Chiefs. I got three AFC teams at the top. I think the AFC is clearly the best conference. Has an early Super Bowl line came out? Usually they'll put that prop bet out, like AFC versus NFC. See if you can find that during the break. All right, let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, let's go over to my bookie. Let's just have one little bit. Let's have a little NFL segment as we wrap up hour one. We'll move to Tennessee football in hour two. But let's go over to my bookie. I'm interested in the first coach fired.
Yeah, I didn't find like the prop Super Bowl thing you were asking about, but okay. I did stumble upon. Yeah, they have odds for the first coach to be fired this year. Any guess to who's number one on that?
I would imagine it's got to be Gase, just because his team looks like they have quit the most.
It is Adam Gase.
And if he's anything over 3-1, you guys should be hammering Adam Gase right now.
It's plus 150.
Okay, I was going to say, yeah. I figured it. Okay, so he's close to even money.
Yeah.
Second place going to be Zimmer's going to be up there, but Patricia has to be the second best odds, right? Patricia?
It is Patricia.
Probably plus 225?
Plus 220. Plus 200, my bad.
Okay. Zimmer 3 or?
Zimmer is not 3.
Zimmer is not 3. Hold on a second. Bill O'Brien?
He's not.
Okay, three. Then who? Who's number three?
Dan Quinn.
Oh.
At plus 250.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. You warped me on that one. You warped me on that one, making me think that they were good to go and that everything's fine. So, top three, and where'd you say he's at, plus 250?
Yep.
Give me number 4 and 5.
4 is Doug Marrone at, for some reason, plus 500.
I mean, Doug... Coming into the year, looked like he was going to get fired, but I mean, like first 2 weeks, they look competitive. So I'd be surprised if he was the first. If he was the first coach fired, if you're just asking me if he gets fired at some point this year, I'd probably still say yes. Yeah, but him being the first seems really far fetched, unless they just like lay a complete egg against the Dolphins. But even then, I don't think they would get him fired.
Yeah, and then right behind him is Mike Zimmer at plus 650.
That
Bill O'Brien plus 800.
Bill O'Brien plus 800. Feels like good odds.
Like, it's not bad odds.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily saying he's the first because I do think it's going to be Gase.
Mm-hmm.
Although there is like a weird power dynamic where like Gase kind of handpicked his GM there in New York. It's like, will his handpicked GM fire him?
And then rounding it out is Anthony Lynn at plus 900, Vic Fangio at plus 1200, Matt Nagy at plus 1500, Kevin Stefanski at plus 2000. Yeah, I don't know. And then Frank Reich rolls in at plus 2000.
None of that. It's going to be one of those top five guys. And like I said, it's probably going to be Gase, but Bill O'Brien at 8-1 feels like pretty good odds. Who do the Texans have this next week?
The Steelers.
They have the Steelers. So, I mean, like, there's a decent chance they're 0-3. I mean, I imagine the Steelers are favored in that game, right? It's in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think
I
it's
believe.
Probably like 3.5.
Okay, so they're it's a pretty close spread.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised at it too.
I think it's just because 2-0 versus 0-2, and the 0-2 team's desperate.
Mm-hmm.
Like you would think,
sitting at 3.5 right now.
You would think Houston brings their best game.
Mm-hmm.
Texans going to lose to the Steelers, and then they play Minnesota, and that might be the loser leaves town match. Zimmer versus O'Brien, loser, packs his stuff up and is gone. But there's a chance, that Houston is 0-3 heading into that game. But then maybe they look and they'll say we have Minnesota, Jacksonville before Tennessee. Like, then they'll try to claw back to 500. But Bill O'Brien, put himself in a bad situation as a coach.
Yeah.
GM Bill O'Brien did head coach Bill O'Brien zero favors. And head coach Bill O'Brien not good enough to dig himself out. But he's another one of those where he's like, we got to figure things out in a hurry. And you said Patricia has the second best odds?
Yep.
Lions got at the Cardinals this weekend. That feels like a loss. And then New Orleans before a bye week. So if you look at that, Patricia looks like he might be in trouble. If they lose to Arizona and New Orleans and they're 0-4 heading into a bye week, that would seem like the perfect time to make a move. And then you come out and you play Jacksonville, Atlanta, Indianapolis, and Minnesota. And if you're Detroit, you're like, hey, those games are all winnable. Like, no offense to the Falcons fans, but
that's what we want them to think.
Well, they would look and say, hey, it's just Atlanta.
That's what we want them to think.
So maybe, like, you get to that bye week 0-4, and Patricia would get fired. The Jets this weekend, 10.5-point dogs to the Colts. That's going to be everyone's survivor pick, I think, this weekend in your eliminator pools, your suicide pools. You're going to pick the Colts there. At least I would. I think I'm going to, even though I hate the Colts. I think it's one of those situations where if the Colts lose and I lose my eliminator pool, it'll be worth it just because I hate the Colts.
Yeah, Colts lost to the Jets.
Jets got Colts, Denver, Arizona. Or excuse me, the Jets have Colts, Denver, Arizona, so there's a chance they're 0-5. Gase and Patricia do seem like the heavy favorites there.
Yeah, that checks out.
MyBookie.ag, promo code Knoxville for a 100% deposit bonus. Rollover terms and conditions do apply. All right, hour one of the books. We'll kick off hour two of the headlines. We'll switch gears to some college football. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey,